Today is Mother's Day, and under ordinary circumstances, we would have our lunch fellowship in celebration of the Mother's Day. In fact, in the officers' meeting more than a week ago, we were discussing exactly that, and we're planning activities to make the day special. But we have a grieving mother in our midst, but not only her. The whole church is in mourning today. In a very swift and sudden turn of events, our dear brother John Louis Lim transitioned into glory. I'm sure that it would have been the desire of John to make use of this occasion for us to learn. But what is there to learn? There are many lessons, but I want to focus on mourning thoughts that fit this period. I remember many years ago, I was with a pastor friend visiting a family where a member died, and I was expecting a very somber mood and preparations for a gloomy wake. Instead, I visited a family or a venue where it seemed that a preparation was being made for a concert. There were the instruments, and when I inquired, I was told, well, the one who died, the deceased, was a Christian, and therefore we should celebrate because we believe that he has gone to heaven. Now, even though I was a very young pastor then, I already saw something wrong with that spirit. I felt that the whole setup was plastic, and now that I am much more mature, I hope, I look back to that and think that it was not just plastic, it was very cruel. One might still ask, is it not true that a believer's soul, according to our biblical teaching, is in a far better place? He is in the presence of Christ. Yes, but that does not diminish death's horror and the appropriate grief for those feeling the loss. And we are not just trying to argue with those of a different position on this. The Word of God instructs us on the proper mourning for even the dead in Christ. So in this period of church mourning, I will do a brief series of messages for Christian mourning thoughts when we have to mourn for the dead in Christ. Is it right at all? And I want to convince you, as I know many of you are already convinced, that it is right to mourn. And I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 7 verse 58, reading through chapter 8 verse 2. Acts chapter 7, beginning verse 58 through chapter 8 verse 2. Then they cast him out, referring to Stephen. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2 of Acts chapter 8, devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. Now the book of Acts is written by Luke to follow the progress of the mission of the church. That mission was outlined by Jesus himself before his ascension, which is recorded in chapter 1, verse 8, that says that the gospel must be preached beginning in Jerusalem and then in the province of Judea and then throughout all the uttermost parts of the earth. And Luke follows that particular outline, beginning with Jerusalem, Samaria, and then how it spread through the whole of Israel and then through the Roman world. And that is still continuing today as we have not yet reached the uttermost parts of the earth. However, the fulfillment of that mission is a record of suffering and even martyrdom in the book of Acts. And this passage that we read records the grim episode of the first martyrdom in the church. after the Great Commission was given. Stephen, as you might remember, is one of the seven chosen by the Jerusalem church to be among the first, what we may consider, diaconate. Stephen is one of those seven, but Stephen stands out among the seven because on top of his deaconing ministry, he had a preaching gift. He preached and many were converted through him, but not only that, the other result was that he offended many of those who were leaders in Israel. His preaching became an occasion of offense to Jewish leaders. They made a plot, they carried on a false trial, and then it resulted in the execution of Stephen by stoning to death. So Stephen is the first to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel, and in many ways, that death was a glorious death, even made more glorious by the vision he was granted in many other manuscripts and translations. Jesus is said to appear before Stephen, giving him welcome. And we find that even as he was being stoned to death, he prayed for those who were executing him, and he commended his spirit to God. In a certain sense, we can say that there is something glorious about this death. The assurance is there that Stephen is given glorious welcome in heaven. As we believe, the souls of believers do go to heaven when they die. But then we ask the question, if the death of this man was glorious, why are we told that his friends who buried him made great lamentation over him? Why is that the response of the church? Well, what we see here is the right grief that believers feel when they see the loss of the dead in Christ. I want to draw this message. Believers do rightly mourn the death of brethren, even knowing that they die in Christ. Ang mga mananampalataya ay tamang magdalamhati sa kamatayan ng kapatiran kahit alam nilang sila'y namatay kay Kristo. Believers do rightly mourn the death of brethren, even knowing that they die in Christ. Now, there is no doubt that when Stephen died, he found welcome into the presence of Christ. He had been given this unique vision. But there is also no doubt that for all the assurance of his own brethren, Luke himself recorded this event, they still mourned deeply. And it is legitimate to ask why. If I'm feeling grief over a brother that has been taken away from us, is it right? And how do I grieve rightly? Well, I answer, if we have assurance that the dead in Christ are still well placed in their death after life, how are we to grieve? Why do we mourn? May I answer two responses to that? First, death is the consequence of sin. Death is the ang kamatayan ay dahilan sa kasalanan. Death is the consequence of sin. And yes, even for Christians. And secondly, death cuts off fellowship on earth. Ang kamatayan ay nagpuputol ng ating pakikipag-ugnayan sa kapatid dito sa mundo. Death cuts off fellowship on earth. So the first thing then, why we mourn is that death is the consequence of sin. We can go back to the creation account and the following narrative of creation to see the origin of death. Man was not created to die. Man was created to live with immortality, but he was put under a covenant, that is, a pledge by God that there will be blessing upon him on the condition that he should obey that which God has given to him as a command. But because Adam was the head of mankind, whatever he did in terms of that covenant would be passed on to mankind. And we know what happened to Adam. He disobeyed. And instead of immortality, as he was promised by implication, instead, death is imposed as a penalty to sin. So as originally created, it is not native for man to die. Death is a consequence of disobedience to God. What does that tell us? That sin is manifested in physical frailty and mortality, as well as in human depravity and cruelty. Ang kasalanan ay nakikita sa pantaong kahinaan at kamatayan, at gayon din sa pantaong kasamaan at kalupitan. Sin is manifested in physical frailty and mortality, as well as in human depravity and cruelty. The manner of Stephen's death is cruel. He was stoned to death, not for a crime, but for faithful ministry of preaching. It is injustice perpetrated on the highest level of the Jewish leadership. There is blood in their hand. But even if Stephen did not suffer that cruel treatment, we all know that he would have died just the same. Like all humanity, we share that mortality, the frailty of the body that can only live long enough. If we were given a blessing, and the Old Testament considers long life as a blessing, and the saints of the Old Testament pleaded with God for long life, and it is a tragedy, a deep sadness when that life is abbreviated, and yet it is within the sovereignty of God. But the implication of this is that the Bible's explanation for death is our sin. Because Romans 5:12 tells us, through one man's disobedience, sin came to the world, and death through sin. Romans 6:23 calls death as the penalty of sin. And the implication of this for our view of death is not good. There are those, as I've told you of my experience visiting that family celebrating a death. It is wrong because death is not good. There are those who will romanticize it. The Bible does not do that, because death is the consequence of sin. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:26 calls it the last enemy. So it is not a friend. It is an enemy. And the reason why it is an enemy is that it should not have been. And every time there is a death, whether Christian or not, when there is a death of a dear one, you feel that something is wrong, because it is wrong. It is a wrong that has happened to mankind, which God did not intend, but because of human disobedience, sin came to be. Now you, friend, may have your own explanation for death. You may just compare man to animals, and that when they die, that is it for them. That is not what the Word of God teaches. What the Word of God teaches is that man was created for immortality, except that disobedience has visited death upon them. But the good news is that immortality becomes the inheritance of those who are in Christ, because Jesus entered into death, and the first one to rise from the dead in His glorious resurrection. And that alone is the assurance we have for death. But in this case, not only is sin manifested in mortality, we see this in the cruelty with which Stephen was treated that led to his death. Now, a knife is a good tool in the kitchen, but put it in the hands of a man with a criminal intent, it will be destructive. And God has given us so many tools to enjoy life, but because we choose the path of disobedience, the result is that it leads to death. And again, it shows us death is the consequence of sin. Death is a wrong. Death is an evil, not something to be romanticized. The challenge of this to us is use the occasion of death to deepen conviction of sinfulness and refresh salvation. Gamitin natin ang okasyon ng ating pagdadalamhati na palalimin din ang sumbat ng kasalanan sa atin at panariwain ang kaligtasan. When death visits someone dear, we rightly feel the anguish. But let it also remind you that we are still in this realm of sin. Nothing is wrong with God's creation as it came out of God's work in the creation narrative. In fact, 10 times we read in Genesis 1, "Behold, it was very good as it came out of God's hand." But something violated what God created to be all good. And what is that which violated it? Human sin and disobedience. And when there is death, it is an occasion for us to remind ourselves we're still in this realm of sin. And for all the achievements of humanity in terms of medicine and physical vigor, we still have no answer to death because men can never answer sin. Only God could. So had it stopped there, that man has disobeyed and death was visited upon him, had it stopped there, then it would all be miserable for us. And all the happiness you enjoy in this world, this is the point of the whole book of Ecclesiastes. You may have wisdom and mirth and good relations, and yet for all those things, he uses the word vanity. The hebel of Hebrew means brief. Short. It comes to a close. And everything that you enjoy in this world, if you hang to it as though that is the be-all, end-all of life, you will find yourself disappointed. Why? Because death is going to visit you one day. Nobody expected this to happen to our dear brother. I was in happy exchange with him just days before suddenly he collapsed. It will visit any time when you are young. Perhaps no precondition to even cast the shadow of death upon you. You might have expected that to happen to people like me and those with age and with condition. And yet it happened to him. Because we live in the realm of sin, death will visit us. When a believer dies, we see the reality that sin still hangs. Even to the believer, the body starts to decompose. And no number of skills and substance used by the mortician will spare from decay. There is a field of science today that is dedicated to finding immortality. I will not deny the research because I believe that it may lead to longevity. Mapahaba nila ang buhay. But it is sheer illusion that through science, they can discover immortality. Why? Because mortality is not a medical condition. Our only hope is through the one who can save from sin and death because he entered death and came out victorious again from death. But when we feel the grief for a brother's death, let it deepen our conviction of sin. But at the same time, refresh the joy of salvation that nothing can prevent that salvation to complete its consummation. Even death will not. And when we talk of salvation from death, we mean the resurrection, not promises of miracle healing. The believer's death may yet be a gospel stimulus to others, as it happened to Stephen's death, who was there supervising the stoning to death of Stephen. And you might dismiss him as a depraved, cruel man. There is no hope for this man, but this was Saul. And many commentators, and I agree with them, see that that was the beginning of what Jesus would confront Saul when he was on the road to Damascus, when Jesus told him, "It is hard to kick against the pricks," that is, those convicting, sharp that he might be feeling in conscience, that might have begun with Stephen, as Stephen was being stoned to death, he must have heard him pray that the Lord may not charge this sin against them. And Saul, as we know, became the Apostle Paul. And let this be used, as I know John would have loved to, the gospel be extended to sinners. You have heard of Putin's war in Russia, and he is charged with a war crime in one city or town called Bucha. What not many know, but I know because I receive a Christian journal about these events. The dean of the Kyiv, that is the capital of Ukraine, the dean of the Kyiv Slavic Evangelical Seminary was one of the fatalities in that cruelty of man. Well, that's what sin is. Why do we mourn? Sin or death is the consequence of sin. But not only that, it is right to mourn because death cuts off fellowship on earth. Ang kamatayan ay nagpuputol ng pakikipag-ugnayan dito sa mundo. We are told that the men who buried Stephen made great lamentation over him. And we ask why? After all, the vision of Stephen guarantees that he would have gone to heaven. And we believe in the intermediate state, the state between death and the second coming for the righteous. Paul said that absent from the body but present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. It is in a far better place, Philippians 1, and to be with Christ. Yes, that is true, but that does not change the fact that as a brother, a sister in church, when one dies, even in Christ, fellowship is gone. When our brother died, as much as we enjoyed our fellowship with him, and I enjoyed his company, he would often ride with us going home after the Lord's day. And but that will no longer happen. He is gone. Death cuts off all earthly contact and Christian fellowship. Pinuputol ng kamatayan lahat ng pakikipag-ugnayan sa mundo, kasama ang pakikipag-ugnayang Kristiyano. There are so many superstitions that surround the event of death. Most try to cushion the idea of separation. Many think that they can still talk to the dead. I have even heard Christians say, to comfort the bereaved's family, that the deceased is looking over them, making the dead assume almost divine attributes. Well, let us reject those superstitions. The consistent testimony of the scriptures is that the dead are gone from the land of the living. Listen to Ecclesiastes 9 verse 6. Forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. And you remember the story of Jesus about the rich man and Lazarus, which I believe to be a true story, not a parable, how the rich man in torment in Hades is pleading, if Lazarus cannot come over me, let him come to my brothers still alive on earth so that they may be warned. And Abraham told him, unless they believe the scriptures, they will not believe even if one comes from the dead. The point is that it will never happen. Whatever the superstitions, whatever the movies say, whatever Hollywood tells us, it will not happen. And all these superstitions are ways of deceiving us into believing something false and giving us false comfort. So all ideas of ghosts, zombies, paramdam, pagdalaw, these are all superstitions we need to reject. I even hear some say that their dead loved one is now representing them before God in heaven. It's false, my friend. The only intercessor is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do not get me wrong. I believe in honoring the dead. That's why we will have our memorial service. But I do not believe that the dead are watching over the living. nor do they have powers over us. That is the reason why we grieve even over the dead in Christ, because we will no longer have fellowship with them. We will miss that fellowship with our brother. We will miss that laughter. We will miss that unselfish service he rendered very often behind the scene. But as it happened to John, so to us after death, the next appearance is the resurrection. Then there will be no separation. You know, there are people today who still seriously believe that Elvis Presley is alive, or that Michael Jackson is still showing up. It's the wish getting better over the mind. And we must reject that. We must accept the fact of separation. And the challenge of this to us is seek closure and comfort in the believer's state after death. This is what we have in mourning for the dead in Christ that the rest cannot do. We can seek closure and comfort. Maaari tayong magkaroon ng pagpipinid at kaaliwan sa kalagayan ng mananampalataya sa kabilang buhay. By closure, again, I do not mean forgetting the memory of the dead. One of my favorite readings are biographies. I read about people who have died and how their lives inspire me in many ways. What I mean by closure is not to forget, but to accept that there is no more contact or fellowship with the dead. That means the living will not affect the state of the dead. The opportunity is now while you are alive. Do not depend on the possibility that when you die, your family will do a novena and pray for your soul and for your peace and rest. That will not affect anyway your true state. If you die a wicked man, if you die outside of Christ, then you die in sin. And no amount of activities, religious or otherwise, that the living will do can affect you. Now is the time. Come to Christ. But not only would the dead not affect the living, or the living would not affect the dead, also the dead will not affect the living. There is nothing that they do that becomes an intercession for us. They do not become intercessors on our behalf. If you need, and you do need, an intercessor before God, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:34, who is he to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. We do not trust in the dead to do something for us. They can do no more for us. That's why it's closure. Closure will mean that you will have to live your life according to duties you still have without the company of the loved one who is gone. You will still have to go home after every Lord's Day without the company of our dear brother. I think I shared last Sunday, hours after we heard of the news, we still went home, but we passed by the very road where we used to have John disembark, paused for 1 minute, and bade him goodbye. Bye, John, we all said. No, it's not forgetting, but it's accepting. Another way of putting it is moving on. Life will go on as long as we have a mission for the Lord Jesus. John has done his mission. We might have wished and we have pleaded that it would take longer, but God knows. God assigns. And as long as we have that life to live, let us consider it a mission to accomplish for our Lord. But beyond closure, there is that which believers have in mourning the dead in Christ. We have a comfort. The world takes comfort in sheer memory or perhaps the legacy of the departed, and there is place for that. And they may put it in terms of rest in peace, which to them without right faith becomes mere wish. But the believer as that which looks forward and even now is a consolation, even as we mourn, we are consoled by the intermediate state of the dead, absent from the body, but present with the Lord. There is something we can look forward to of reunion. Not now, but when we go to glory and in the resurrection morning. So we rightly mourn. However, one is taken from us. Perhaps some will say untimely, tragically, suddenly, so swiftly, yet it is the Lord's will. And we bow down to that will, believing that there is comfort to draw from the thought, God has something good in mind, even for a grieving church. When you vote tomorrow, spare a thought for someone we also mourned 11 years ago. Tomorrow is the 11th year anniversary of our dear Deacon Jojo Malinaw, who was killed cruelly, and how we mourned then. And when you cast your vote, remember that life which was lived as one of his mission concerns to protect a piece of land compared to the whole earth, just a speck. But he did his mission faithfully and paid with his life for it. We mourned. But then people stepped up to fill the void he left in terms of our ministries. The prison ministry, which he handled single-handedly. Now we have several doing that ministry. And this is what I hope we can move on doing as we feel. I am filling the void. Almost weekly, I have exchanged with John over projects we collaborated to do. We will fill the void, but it would have been John's desire that they do not remain a void, that the brethren may step up, because the Lord's will is to advance his kingdom through the living. And for as long as you and I are alive, let us be faithful, as John showed us how to be faithful, yes, in ways that may be filled with humor, in ways also that were serious and sin. He did his mission and he accomplished it. And for us who are left behind, we rightly mourn, but we mourn as believers expecting a reunion one day. So let us use this occasion to think of the reality of death. And that is the reason why the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of mirth. It gives more wisdom. And with that thought, let us sing, "Abide with me, Fast falls the eventide. The eventide refers to evening. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. So it is not the dead who abide with us. We lose them. The one who abides with us is our God. Let's close in prayer. Our great God and gracious Heavenly Father, indeed, as we have sang, life is but a shadow. It's so brief, and yet, even as we are reminded now by the passing of a dear and beloved brother, help us, Lord, to think aright. And one right attitude is that of grieving. There is a place for mourning. And for those who think that they should celebrate the death of a believer are just being cruel to themselves, for you have given us that outlet of our grief through our mourning. And as the devout men, they are called, who buried Stephen, made great lamentations over him, despite the gloriousness in a way of his death, yet they mourned, and so we mourn. Yet it is a mourning that is not hopeless. It is a mourning because we are reminded that we are still in the realm of sin. And though humanity and science try their best to explain death in their philosophical or their uncaring way, we know why there is death. It is a wrong. It is not what you intended, but it happened because of human sin and disobedience. Help us to use this occasion to deepen our conviction of sin, but with that conviction of sin is the way to refresh that for the believer in Christ, it does not stop in death. Because of our Lord and Savior who entered the precinct of death and exited again in a glorious resurrection, He is our hope. And yet we rightly mourn because fellowship is now cut off. There is a real separation. And may we not give in to the superstitions that abound concerning death. It is your pleasure for our brother to have accomplished his mission in those 33 years of his life. And we accept it. And may you take away any tendency to be questioning, to be in bitterness, but to bow down to your wisdom. And as we know, our dear brother John would have loved, he would have wanted this occasion to be used to advance the gospel and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. And so we pray for those who are still in sin. Even those who knew John in a close and dear way, may you minister the word of salvation to them. And Father, minister comfort to the grieving families. And minister comfort to us who are grieving and mourning the loss of our brother. But we thank you for the assurance that the soul absent from the body is present with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may it be our steadfast belief that while this earthly fellowship is temporary, death will catch up with us one way or the other, and fellowship will be cut off. But there is a looking forward to that day when Jesus Christ will come again, and there will be no more separation. So help us, Lord, to mourn, but mourn in a right way, still to your glory, and pleading as we have sung, abide with us, for the living are just temporary, only through the Holy Spirit, there is the abiding of the triune God with us,
May that be our plea and comfort even today. And now may the love of the Father and the grace of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.